Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
I think it's frankly not moral for my generation to keep spending massively more than we take in, knowing those burdens are going to be passed on to the next generation.
If I'm willing to give something up as somebody who's been extraordinarily blessed, I actually think that's going to make economic sense. But for me as a Christian, it also coincides with Jesus' teaching that for unto whom much is given, much shall be required.
In many cases, it's the men who are pressuring women to have abortions. Abortion lets abusive men off the hook.
Let me tell you about my faith. Well, it's okay to say that, but what we're really saying is, let me tell you about Christ.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues, etc.
I don't know, at first you wouldn't necessarily think these two go together if you're just going to look at resumes, right? Just at resumes. Most successful female broadcaster and, what do you call her? Oprah Winfrey. She's more than just a broadcaster. Of course, she's famous for her show, but she's an industry in and of herself. She surpasses them all. She's a force of nature. And most successful Christian pastor in the United States, Joel Osteen, also in his own way, kind of a force of nature. If you just look at resumes, and especially what they're supposed to believe, you probably would not put the two together. But boy, they seem to kind of go together. And they actually spend a lot of time together, at least on camera. How is it that Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, and Oprah Winfrey have so much in common? How is that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon. It's November the 7th. Chris Roseborough joins us from Fighting for the Faith. We're going to be talking about Joel Osteen's recent interview on Oprah's Life Class. A little bit later, Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society based in Rockford, Illinois will join us. We'll talk about social conservatism in yesterday's election. And then Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute, will be with us at the last part of the second hour to talk about the future of the pro-life movement. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he's host of a daily internet radio show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Is this a match made in heaven, Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen?
Boy, it sure seems like it, but it's one of those things where on paper it should be strange bedfellows, but it's not. I mean, these two... I think the reason why they go so well together, like peanut butter and jelly, is because I think they're actually teaching and believing and proclaiming the exact same false theology. And as a result of it, these two are very compatible and have a, when you see them on camera together, they have a wonderful way of finishing each other's sentences and just being excited to share the same ideas regarding what they believe is man's problem and what the solution to it is.
So who's tapped into who? That's what I'm curious about. Both of them are successes in their own right. Neither of them depend on one another for the success they've had. And you know, God knows that many depend on Oprah Winfrey for their success. She's made many people, but not Joel Osteen.
She hasn't made Joel Osteen, but Oprah has kind of made it part of her mission for her broadcasting network and what she's done over the years on her television show to tap into what she considers to be cutting-edge spiritual teachers that have something to offer to her audience that would make their lives better or more significant or have better results. So I think in that sense you could say Oprah has really tapped into Joel Osteen, but she's also tapped into a whole other spectrum of teachers, including Eckhart Tolle and T.D. Jakes and others.
Do you think that the same thing accounts for both of them being so popular in American culture?
What they've tapped into is the ultimate feel-good message for narcissistic, me-centered Americans. And what they've done is they found a way to baptize narcissism and put a spiritual veneer on it so that rather than having to repent and have to deal with sins and a bloody crucified Savior, instead what they God is up there basically just smiling and waiting for you to say great things about yourself and step out in faith and bless your life. I mean, it's the ultimate ear-tickling, ear-scratching theology.
If we could speak of it in terms of good news or gospel, how similar is the gospel of Oprah to the gospel of Joel Osteen?
I think they're one and the same. And it's pretty much that the idea is that you create reality for yourself in this life by what you say about yourself, by what you think and kind of meditate on in your own mind. So if you're always thinking negative thoughts and kind of running yourself down or kind of playing film from your past where people have said negative things about you, then apparently all of these negative outcomes are just waiting to attack you. And as soon as they hear you saying these bad things about yourself, they come and get you. But the solution is for you to boldly step out and believe that you are somebody significant, that you are somebody special, that that you are blessed and have great health and all this kind of stuff. And as soon as you say that, all those great results are attracted to your positive words that you say about yourself, and then will come to you and give you wealth and riches and health and influence beyond your wildest dreams.
We're going to be listening here first to a little bit of Osteen preaching at Lakewood Church, his church in Houston, Texas, his I Am sermon, and Oprah Winfrey is front row in the audience. What should we be listening for?
First of all, listen for the problem that he presents as the problem that we all face, and then listen to the solution and ask yourself, who's the Savior in this theology? Is it Jesus Christ, or is it yourself?
I want to talk to you today about the power of I Am. What follows these two simple words will determine what kind of life you live. I am blessed, I am strong, I am healthy, or I am slow, I am unattractive, I am a terrible mother. The I ams that are coming out of your mouth will bring either success or failure. And all through the day, the power of I am is at work. We make a mistake, I am so clumsy. We look in the mirror, I am so old. We see somebody very talented, I am so average. We get caught in traffic, I am so unlucky. Many times we use the power of I am against us. We don't realize how it's affecting our future. Here's the principle. What follows the I am will always come looking for you. When you say, I am so clumsy, clumsiness comes looking for you. I am so old, wrinkles come looking for you. I am so overweight, calories come looking for you. It's just like you're inviting them. Whatever you follow the I am with, you're handing it an invitation, opening the door, giving it permission to be in your life. Now, the good news is you get to choose what follows the I am. When you go through the day saying, I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. I am talented. Talent comes looking for you. You may not feel up to par, but when you say, I am healthy, health starts heading your way. I am strong, strength starts tracking you down. You're inviting that into your life. That's why you have to be careful what follows the I am. Don't ever say, I am so unlucky. I never get any good breaks. You're inviting disappointments. I am so broke. I am so in debt. You are inviting struggle. You're inviting lack. You need to send out some new invitations. Get up in the morning and invite good things into your life. I am blessed. I am strong. I am talented. I am disciplined. I am focused. I am prosperous. When you talk like that, talent gets summoned by Almighty God. Go find that person. Health, strength, abundance, discipline starts heading your way.
All right. I've tried to do what you asked us to do here, Chris, and that is identify the problem. And it seems to be the problem is, as he says, what follows the I am will come looking for you. And then he clearly said what the solution was. You get to choose what follows the I am. With about a minute or so here before we take our first break, what's wrong here?
Well, this is not the problem that the Bible presents, and this is not the solution that Scripture presents. The Scriptures make it clear that the reason why we have all of these terrible things and results in our life is a result of mankind's rebellion against God and sin. And the solution that is presented in Scripture is not magic words of I am strong or I am this, but instead repentant, contrite, penitent faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. The solution that God put forward are not affirmations about ourselves, but instead it's the virgin-born Son of God who was crucified, died, and was buried, and raised again on the third day for our sins and for our justification. This is a completely foreign theology. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the real problem and the real solution offered in Scripture.
With only about 30 seconds here, Chris, does that in a nutshell explain why, as often as you hear Joel Osteen preach or read his books, Jesus may get quoted as kind of supporting material, but he's not really necessary to Joel's program for your life?
Yeah, I think exactly. In fact, when he preaches about Jesus, Jesus is usually held up as an example, and he tries to twist the gospel narratives to give examples of how Jesus or the disciples gave affirmations about themselves and engaged in this positive thinking, and it completely misses the point altogether.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's host of a daily internet radio show, talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, more of Joel Osteen's recent interview on Oprah's Life Class.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear-thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, etc. IssuesETC.org.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Joel Osteen's recent interview on Oprah's Life Class on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 7th. We're coming to you live. Our call-in number 1-877 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. You used a term before the break, and I want to know whether you're exaggerating or using a little hyperbole to make a point, or whether you're serious. You said that Joel recommends as a solution to our many maladies in life, magic words. Did you mean that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant to say. I don't think that's hyperbole at all. And what Joel Osteen is he's kind of like the latest generation of what has been come to be known as the word of faith heresy. And the people who teach this heresy twist particular Bible passages. For instance, Joel Osteen's book, I Declare, is basically running away with a false theology from Job chapter 22, verse 28, which supposedly says, if you declare a thing, it will be established for you. And what people who use this verse out of context, like Joel Osteen, tried to basically say is, see, this verse says if you declare a thing, it'll be established for you, so you need to say things with your mouth in order for that to happen. So if you want to be wealthy, you have to say, I am wealthy, I am wealthy. You say these affirmations and stuff like that, if you're, and this is the solution. But what they failed to realize is that Job is a very difficult book to interpret correctly, because you have to understand that there's a drama playing out. And the drama is that really Satan has asked to sift Job, and Job is portrayed not in the beginning portion of Job as an unrighteous person, but rather a righteous person. He trusts in the coming Messiah and believes in him, and he is reckoned righteous by God. And so all of the terrible things that befall him are a result of basically Satan sifting him. Satan basically saying, God, he's going to curse you to your face when I remove everything from his life. And what happens is that Job has several people in the course of going through all of the suffering who try to comfort him, and they offer to Job really bad theology. And what we see here is in Job 22 are not the words of Job or the words of God, but one of Job's quote-unquote comforters who doesn't understand what's really going on, and as a result of it, the theological advice that he is offering is not in line with the reality of what's really truly going on in the story. He's offering bum advice, if you would, and this is Eliphaz the Temanite. And so those people who quote Job 22:28 are actually quoting one of Job's comforters who's completely oblivious and in the wrong regarding what's going on with Job and why all of this tragedy has befallen him. So the solution that's offered here is not really, number one, in context, teaching that if you just declare something with your mouth, that all of a sudden, you know, good things are going to come running to you. And on top of it, it's advice offered by a guy who's spiritually clueless, if you would.
Here is Joel Osteen on Oprah's Life Class, helping a man in the audience use the I am.
We're talking about the power of two simple words, I am. Saul from Miami Lakes, Florida is in our audience. Stand up, Saul. What's your question for Pastor Joel Osteen?
Well, it's an honor to be here with you guys. My question was, when I was 11 years old, my father passed away. He committed suicide. He left my mother to raise four kids on her own. I developed this inability to trust people that I looked up to, authority figures, people I respected, because I felt that if I trusted them, that they would fail me. Now, as an adult, I find that this is blocking me. I find that my inability to trust people is keeping me from filling my full potential. So my question for you is, how can I heal this inability to trust in order to fulfill my full potential?
Yeah, Saul, our heart goes out to you. You know, I think the starting point, Saul, is you gotta realize that, you know, nothing that's happened to you is a surprise to God. You know, it's as hard as that is, and, you know, our heart breaks for you, but God knew everything you'd go through. So he's already equipped you and empowered you with everything you need. So I think every day you have to remind yourself, you know what, I had some hardships, but I'm well able to live a victorious life. And, you know, it comes to a part to where you say, God, you know, I didn't have a father, but I'm going to let you be my father. You trust in him, and God will give you that
You know, because it goes back, Saul. I think it goes back to this, because it's hard when you've been hurt, but you gotta say, I'm not going to try to get my approval from people. I'm going to get my approval from God. Because, you know, people, as good as they are, they'll disappoint us. And what a disappointment, what a hurt to have a father like that. But you got to say, you know what, God, it's not a surprise to you. I know I'm a person of destiny. You breathed your life into me, so I'm going to dig my heels in. I know I'm equipped, empowered, I'm well able. You know, it's just that attitude of moving forward.
Chris, how would you evaluate the advice that Joel had for that poor guy?
It's tragic. And it's tragic because what Joel did, if you listen to the verbs, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta. What Joel Osteen literally did was take this guy and throw him back on himself and make him his own savior to his own problems. And not only that, I mean, it was really a surface treatment of the entire problem of sin, and he was not told about Jesus who has bled and died for his sins. He was not brought to repentance and faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, but instead was really taught to trust not in the I am of Scripture, which I really want to talk about in here in a minute, but basically to trust in his I am statements about himself. I am a person of destiny. I am strong, so that he can fulfill his, you know, his greater purpose, because he feels like lack of trust is keeping him back from experiencing his full potential. That's not his problem. His problem is that he's a sinner, and he's on his way to hell, and that unless he is brought to repentant faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, he's going to not only not live up to his full potential, he's going to spend eternity with the devil and the demons and all false teachers in the lake of fire.
So, again, it comes back to the fact that Joel Osteen, and we need to emphasize the fact that although he's appearing on Oprah Winfrey's Life Class, he is the pastor of the largest ostensibly Christian church in the United States, giving no Jesus to this poor guy.
Yeah, none. None. And worse, he's throwing him back on himself. You got to say these positive things about yourself. And there's something really diabolical about this whole teaching, the way it's laid out in the sermon and then on Oprah's Life Class. And that is that biblically, there is a deep and rich biblical theology that's attached to the words, I am. And it points us to Jesus, our Savior. And this was, I mean, it was as if Joel was completely oblivious to it. And I know it sounds like, you know, Oprah was oblivious to it too. But when Moses receives his commission from the Lord to save the, you know, to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, in that exchange that he has with the Lord in the burning bush, Moses actually, in Exodus chapter 3:13, asks God for his name. And here's what it says. It says, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am. I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So here, I am is actually one of the names revealed in Scripture for the very name of God himself, for our Lord himself, Hayah. And this is the name that Jesus attaches to himself in John chapter 8. He has a kind of a running battle with the Jews and the Pharisees of his time. And literally Jesus says to them, he says that I am from, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am, ego eimi, is what it says in the Greek, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. There is a deep, rich Christology and theology attached to the biblical words, I am. They point us to Christ and point us to the very nature of God, because God is the only one who you could really say has always existed and exists in and of himself. God is the I am. He is the self-existing one. And it's blasphemous what Joel and Oprah have done by basically pointing out the words, I am, and never pointing us to the I am of Scripture, and that's Jesus Christ.
Let's go to the phones and talk with Francis, who is listening in High Ridge, Missouri. Francis, welcome.
Hi. I just had two comments when I was hearing this about Joel Osteen, and the one you just kind of talked about, I found it ironic that he was using I Am to further some heretical teaching. And then the other part, I was just going to comment and say the only I Am statement I'm going to make is I am a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Thank you.
Yeah. Francis, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. In Missouri, what would Joel make of that? I'm curious. What would he make of someone who says, I'm a poor, miserable sinner?
And on the one hand, Joel understands it's important to confess your sins and to be forgiven. I mean, he has some understanding of that, but he very carefully avoids that. And I would take, you know, if I could sit down and have a conversation with Joel Osteen, I would take him to, like, Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which, you know, Luke prefaces by telling us that Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And there in that story, the Pharisee says all these amazing things about himself. He says, thank you, God, that I am not like that tax collector over there, that I tithe. And yet it's the tax collector who says, God, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. And Jesus says, that's the guy who's justified and forgiven.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about Joel Osteen's recent interview on Oprah's Life Class. We'll hear more from it and get Chris's reaction after this.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Last month, an international conference of abortionists and abortion mill staff was held in Scotland. The central theme of this event was rather startling. From the earliest days of the pro-abortion movement, activists have advocated legal abortion to protect women from dangerous back-alley abortions. So it came as a surprise that speaker after speaker advocated the benefits of at-home abortion. In other words, women doing self-abortions or having them done by someone other than a physician. They're pushing abortions done in a non-sterile, who knows what environment by non-medical personnel. We used to call these back-alley abortions fraught with a high rate of complications and danger. Isn't it ironic? The abortion industry is pushing for their business to go back to the bad old days.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome Welcome back to Issues Etc. Chris Roseberg is our guest. We're talking about Joel Osteen's recent interview on Oprah's Life Class. Chris has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California. He hosts the daily internet radio talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Now, the difficulty that we're running up against here is that Oprah just absolutely eats this stuff up. But Oprah stands in for, as you well know, Chris, not every woman in America, but a fair number of them, and a lot of men, too. I mean, if anyone's tapped into the cultural, into the zeitgeist of 21st century America, it's this woman. And this stuff sells, whether it's Oprah or Joel Osteen.
Yeah, it does. But numerical success or how much money a teaching brings to its particular promoters is not the indicator as to whether or not it's true or whether it's false. Whether it's rightly telling us about our problem and solution, or if it's telling us something that will that basically tickles our itching ears and tells us what we want to hear. I think it's safe to say the American culture will richly reward those who tell them what they want to hear regarding God and their relationship to him, and basically tell them what it is that they want from God, and will give them a easy solution that they can all agree to. It's pretty much that's what's happening right now.
It sounds like you're saying this isn't just frivolous. I think a lot of people look at Oprah Winfrey and they think her spiritual teaching is just kind of frivolous and flighty and insubstantial, which may be true. And they look at Joel Osteen and they make the same. It's fluff, they say. This is pretty dangerous fluff, isn't it?
Yeah, this is deadly dangerous fluff. Even though it's fluff, and it is, and even though there's a lot of people out there who just will see it for what it is and ignore it and not pay much attention to it, there is a healthy, significant number of people out there who hang on every word spoken by Joel Osteen or Oprah and believe that what they're getting is the gospel truth. And unfortunately, unless God opens their eyes and sends somebody to preach the biblical gospel to them and they're brought to repentance of this narcissistic heresy, they will find themselves in the last day hearing Christ say, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Let's go back to Oprah. She couldn't help but jump in and help the young man, the poor guy that Joel was giving advice to. Here's what she had to say.
So what are the I ams you've told yourself?
I think that one of the primary I ams I repeat is that I'm afraid to trust. I'm unable to trust because I feel that.
Okay. I would say to you, and I'm no pastor at all, but I would say to you, can you trust yourself? Would you say that too, Pastor?
Absolutely.
Can you trust yourself? I mean, you may be afraid of what somebody else is going to do, but can you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself enough to know that if somebody harms you, if somebody is not going to be advantageous to you, that you can make a decision to move out of that relationship? Can you trust yourself enough to do that?
I think so.
You think so? All right. I love that.
That's good. That's perfect. Right. Yeah. Well, I think...
What I ams can he start today? What I ams can he start?
I am not fearful. I am confident. I am excited about my future.
I am excited about my future. That's what you're going to say every morning when you wake up.
Okay.
Right? I am excited about what today is going to bring.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the people God is going to bring into my life and watch things change.
Chris, I got to wonder about this. When you're Oprah Winfrey or Joel Osteen, and you wake up every day in your palatial mansion or one of your palatial mansions, and you've got the coffee already waiting for you outside, you got the car waiting for you to take you to wherever you go, you know, you are I'm not trying to undermine the fact that these are two wealthy people who probably earned their way and they've worked hard. But when you wake up in Oprah's world every day, it's easy to say, I'm excited about what this day is going to bring me.
Yeah, here's the deal. Try this theology out in the slums of Haiti, where they're still trying to rebuild from the earthquake that struck them a couple years ago. You go ahead and preach this to them. Basically say, listen, your problem here is that you just have you've created this negative reality with your words. And the solution to your poverty is for you to wake up every morning, look yourself in the mirror, and say to yourself, I am wealthy, I am strong, I am healthy, I am rich, and see how well that message will, how far it will go. Will it really solve the poverty problem in Haiti? And then you have the question of Christian martyrs. I mean, was the reason why great men like Polycarp and Ignatius and others, was the reason why they were martyred for their faith in Christ because they didn't have enough faith to say, I am safe? And the Romans can't find me because, or I have some great destiny or something like that. These are people who literally gave the ultimate witness of Jesus Christ by dying. Yeah, some of them, Christian martyrs, were killed in the Colosseum and in the Roman forums and arena. They were zipped up in animal skins and fed to the lions. And Nero used Christians for torches, at his backyard parties during the summertime. Do you think that was because these people just had said negative words that created this bad reality? See, it doesn't pass the sniff test. If you believe in this, then you're likely to believe in magic beans. And this has become the evangelical version of a mythology that's akin to plenary indulgences. You know, when a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Or, prayers to the Virgin Mary and things like that. None of this is actually taught in Scripture. This is all pure man-made mythology, and it sells like hotcakes because it gives us an easy solution to our problems. But in reality, it doesn't offer us any solution at all. This isn't even a Band-Aid. It's just trying to basically say the problem isn't there. It's a way of talking yourself into denial of the very problem that you have, and that is that you are a sinner who has literally run afoul of a holy God, and you have earned for yourself hell and temporal and eternal punishments. This is just demonic.
See, I see it as demonic and insidious in a couple of ways, and you've touched upon one of them, and that is this guy who's living in poverty, who's known nothing but poverty, let's say sub-Saharan Africa, he gets a hold of one of Joel Osteen's or Oprah Winfrey's books. And the message he's going to take away from this is, I've created this reality for myself. Yeah. I'm the reason, and I'm the only one who can create the alternate reality. So it's insidious in that sense. But when you actually get down to it and you listen to Joel Osteen talk about people who are in dire circumstances, then he'll always say, well, other people have done this to you, but don't worry, you can get yourself out of that. He kind of swings back and forth between, you've done it to yourself, but if it's really, really bad, I'm not going to say you did it to yourself. I mean, I'm a nice guy. Other people have done it to you.
Yeah, and the reality is that what the Christian faith, what Scripture calls us to do, is found in like the First John. This is written by the apostle whom the Lord loved. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. This is a theology that does not call sinners to confess that they are sinners, that they are literally destroyed by sin itself. We're sinners. We sin because we're sinners. Sin is a condition, and this is a theology that doesn't call a thing what it is. It's the ultimate theology of glory, and it's a theology of self-glory, and it avoids the cross like the plague, and the cross doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why is there a crucified and risen Savior, for us, if all I need to do is say that I am strong, I am healthy, I am whatever, and it'll create a new reality for me and rescue me and save me from the bad consequences of life.
And what about the person who says, I'm going to take Oprah's advice, I'm going to take Joel's advice, And I'm going to let my words create reality. And they do get up every morning. And they speak all those I ams that they're supposed to speak. And 3 weeks later, nothing's changed. 3 weeks later, it may have actually gotten worse. What about that person, Chris, with about a minute or so before we break?
Well, you have a couple of choices when that happens. You can either come to grips with the fact that you've been sold a bunch of magic beans that really are not magic at all, or what happens is that you, in a situation like that, people start to blame themselves. Maybe I just don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. And so they try harder and earnestly try to pull themselves back up by their bootstraps. But see, that's the insidious thing about this theology, is it doesn't point you to Christ. It never has you in Him, resting in what He has done for you, but always you striving and saving yourself by you creating your reality, by your words, your faith, your positive attitude, and all this kind of stuff. And what happens is it creates a worldview where you're very superstitious. I mean, you know, my kids, you know, when they were young, they worried about, you know, stepping on cracks and breaking their mama's back. Well, now you got people worried that they're going to say negative words and create negative realities. This is all superstition.
When we come back, we'll pick up right there with Chris Rosebro. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 7th. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
In about 20 minutes, we start Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday, November the 7th. I don't think you're going to hear this anyplace else, folks. We're going to be talking with Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society on social conservatism and yesterday's election. Then Kristen Day of Democrats for Life will join us. We'll talk about how pro-life Democrats fared yesterday. And then we'll round it all off, concluding our conversation on this Wednesday afternoon with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute, the future of the pro-life movement. Where else will you hear that? Nowhere else, I can guarantee you. Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're talking about Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey and their teaching in Oprah Winfrey's life class of the power of your I am. Let's hear Osteen and Oprah wrapping up their teaching. And I think it's fair to say that this is something they completely agree on, their I am teaching.
You still got a sign, I declare, for Saul. And I declare that if you were to do the declarations for 31 days, your life would change. That's what you did it for, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One day a month, and you can continue to do them, but it's a great start.
Final thoughts from you, Pastor Joel.
Well, I think it's just so important to never speak negative words about yourself, your family. You know, it may come to your mind, but don't give your words life by speaking them out. Don't ever say anything negative about yourself. You may feel it, but just, zip it up and make those positive declarations.
It takes time, though, because from the time I heard the I Am sermon, what it did, and I'm hoping this is what's going to happen for all of you who are watching, who are here, is that you start catching yourself. Because, if you're however old you are, you have the habit of feeding the negative tapes to yourself. Mm-hmm. I do, too. And so when you first catch yourself doing it, you switch it, just as we've been doing here today. You switch the I am, and it takes practice. That's why the I declare, the declarations, help you get into the practice of it.
Absolutely. And it's not something you go out and have to do in public. You get up in the morning, you're in the shower, you're driving to work saying, Lord, thank you, I'm strong. I make good decisions. I'm healthy. Just simple things like that.
I'm looking forward to my future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm
perfect.
Looking forward to my future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you lead us in a few I Ams today?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can we all stand?
Can we all stand?
All right. Let's stand.
All right.
All right. Just repeat after me. I am strong.
I am strong.
I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am confident.
I am confident.
I am secure.
I am secure.
I am talented.
I am talented.
I am creative.
I am creative.
I am disciplined.
I am disciplined.
I am focused.
I am valuable.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am blessed.
I am
excited about my future.
I'm excited about my future.
I am victorious.
I am victorious.
All right. How about
thank
an amen?
You, Pastor Joel Osteen.
All right, Chris, what do you make of that?
Narcissism on parade. It's utterly sad. It's so tragic. Jesus doesn't teach this. Jesus teaches the exact opposite. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, we've lost the historical punch that goes along with this. But at the time of Jesus, if you lived anywhere in the Roman Empire, you knew what crucifixion was. Crucifixion was a horrible, brutal, painful, agonizing, shameful death. And those people who were carrying their crosses were not carrying their crosses to their best life now. They were carrying their crosses to a painful, shameful, disgusting, horrible, public death. So Jesus' call to us, to all of us, is to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Joel Osteen and Oprah's theology basically tells you that God's goal for you is for you to gain the whole world here and now. It's Christless, it's crossless, it's sufferingless. It has nothing to do with reality or biblical Christianity. And the worst thing is that their success, their own personal success, is actually blinding them to their own sinful condition and blinding them to the fact that what they're peddling is completely false.
You said before, and you just repeated again, Christless, it's crossless, but you said before that Joel Osteen cannot, how do you explain a crucified and dead Savior in Joel Osteen's theology, if you can even call it a theology? What did you mean by that?
Well, he, if you listen to his program, he always tries to tag on to the end there that, say something about the fact that you need to accept Jesus in your heart, or from time to time he'll even say that Jesus died for your sins, but he never explains what that means. And the reality is that he can't possibly give a biblical explanation for why God needed to come to earth, be born of the Virgin Mary, and then suffer and die on the cross, and then rise again. It doesn't make sense with his theology. In fact, his personal theology runs completely counter to the entire cross itself. And so
on the one hand, he must give lip service to it because he's a Christian pastor, but on the other hand, his theology can't possibly make sense of it. In fact, it absolutely destroys the cross and avoids it like the plague. Instead, makes you your own savior rather than Christ.
Someone listening to all this says, well, but you know, it sounds so good, Chris, and they seem to be proving it with only about 30 seconds. Is there any kind of kernel of truth here in Joel Osteen's or Oprah Winfrey's I am, just you just say it, and it will become a reality?
No, there isn't. I mean, you can create reality in the sense that you can set your mind to something, plan for the future, and then take steps necessary to make that happen. But you don't need a crucified and risen Savior for that. That's just, you know, carefully managing your life properly. You know, you could save up money for a savings account, you know, so that you can retire someday, and lo and behold, when you get on the other end of that, you'll have that money because you've taken steps to do that. This is nonsense. This is a magical worldview that actually is more akin to kind of New Age thought that's taught in the book that's called The Secret, which is called The Law of Spiritual Attraction, that, you know, that somehow out in the universe, you know, that there's these rules set up so that, you know, if you say positive things or believe for the best, that good results seek you out automatically. That's what this is. This isn't biblical Christianity. This isn't even reality. This is a pipe dream.
Finally, then, talk in contrast to the just utter, complete poverty that is found there in this teaching by Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey in their I Am teaching. Talk about the true comfort of the true I Am.
The true I Am is Jesus Christ. And it says in Scripture that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He is the I Am, and he says that if you don't believe that I am, if you don't believe that I am the I am, you will die in your sins. But on the conversely, he says that if you believe in me, you will never be put to shame. The good news of Scripture is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and there is a day coming when all of this veil of tears will be lifted, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth when he returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. In that day, we will live with him in his kingdom where the streets will be paved with gold. But here and now, we suffer and we're called to take up our cross and follow him and understand that it's suffering that produces perseverance, and perseverance hope and proven character. And so God oftentimes uses the suffering and terrible results in our lives as a means of sanctifying us and giving us not an appetite for sin, but an appetite for him. But this requires a Christ-centered, cross-focused theology like the kind found in Scripture, not a narcissistic, self-focused theology like we find Satan preaching about himself in Isaiah chapter 14 when he says that he will exalt himself to the highest heavens above every throne. That's Satan's theology. Christ's theology is he who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself and confesses his sin will be exalted by God himself on the last day.
Chris, what are you going to be talking about on Fighting for the Faith tonight? Only about 20 seconds here.
We will be talking about how a holy God fits into the overarching understanding of the gospel itself.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith 1 hour from now at piratechristianradio.com. It's all one word, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he hosts a daily internet radio talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. My pleasure.
Chris and I have a mutual friend who's the author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's called Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible, from Pastor Jonathan Fisk and Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call and pre-order Broken, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click No, it's just right there on the side of the page, issuesetc.org. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., an hour two that you'll hear no place else. Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society is going to join us to talk about social conservatism and yesterday's election. Then we'll go on to speak with Kristen Day of Democrats for Life, one of the groups that I guarantee you didn't hear anything about last night in all of the coverage of the election on either side of it. We're pro-life Democrats. How did they fare yesterday? What's their perspective on yesterday? And then Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will be our guest. We'll talk about the future of the pro-life movement, at least a short-term future, for the next 4 years. I invite your questions or your comments for Hour 2 of Issues, etc., which starts in about 5 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to evaluate yesterday's election in terms of social conservatism. Dr. Alan Carlson will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.